Welcome to the Ivy Tech Podcast, powered by the MBA Tech Club here at the Ivy School of Business. I'm Sam Sim, MBA class of 2021. Today, we're continuing our series on revenue roles and exploring the world of customer success. Our guest is Mihin Memon. She's an MBA 2010 alumni and a senior customer success manager at LinkedIn. She's also the co-organizer of a meetup group called Customer Success Toronto. You'll hear her talk about what it's like to be a customer success manager at a startup versus at a big tech company, how to leverage your non-tech experience as an asset, and finally, why customer success is a great gateway into roles like product management. All right, let's get started. Hey, Mihin, I'm really excited to talk today because we are chatting about the customer success team, which is often a position that a lot of people don't think about when they're considering moving into tech. But before we dive into that, I'd love to understand what you were doing before you joined Ivy and what made you decide to pursue the MBA.
Great. That's a great question. I get asked that often, actually. So I started off my career in industrial engineering. So right after undergrad, I joined UPS. And it was pretty surprising. It's a company that has a lot of entrepreneurial aspects to it, even though it's like a very old company. Working there for about 5 years, I realized I wanted more out of my career, and I always wanted to do an actual graduate degree. And I thought an MBA would be a great segue to balance out my engineering background. So back in, I think, 2008 or 2009, I started applying to schools and I got into Ivy. So that was my catalyst to be like, okay, I'm going to leave my job, which was a very good career. I could have worked there forever, which was kind of scary at the same time, and just take a leap into going and doing a one-year MBA program. And then from there, I wasn't really sure where it would take me, but I knew that I was getting the right skills I wanted to build on for my future.
While you were at Ivy, was your plan always to pivot into technology, or were you exploring other industries?
So that's interesting, because when I joined Ivy, I had thought I was actually going to do my own business and actually go the entrepreneurial route. So as part of the new venture program that we actually had, I think it's called MVP. I think that's the actual program that you guys still have within the actual curriculum. And I was thinking of actually owning my own bakery franchise. So I had this whole notion of going into the food industry, and I didn't want to take that leap of faith just yet, especially coming out of school debt as well. So I was exploring consumer packaged goods as an option. The consulting pull is strong when you get into Ivy, so I was actually looking into that as well. And then once I went down that path, I realized I think my true heart was actually trying to do a little bit of focus within supply chain, because I came from a UPS background. I wanted to focus more on retail, and that's how I landed into my first role after Ivy at Hudson Bay.
Since you mentioned your role at Hudson's Bay, tell me more about what it was like being an analyst there and whether or not your experience at Hudson's Bay and then subsequently at Walmart influenced your decision to pivot into tech.
Sure. So I joined Hudson Bay. The Ivy alum was strong, because we actually had, I think my VP at the time came from Ivy. So just having a leg up of knowing someone within the organization was great. So I joined their logistics division as, I believe, as capacity planning analyst. I can't remember. It's been almost 10 years. But essentially it was just reporting and working on making sure our supply chain wasn't filled up with goods that weren't selling. So there's a lot of reporting up to management, trying to figure out how we can move goods through our actual network. And then that led me to a transportation role. They had an opening, and I was managing a team of folks. I joined management within about a year or so after being within the role. Then about 2 years at Hudson Bay, I don't know if you guys remember, but their Zellers division got bought out by Target. So I actually got impacted by that. So I took some time off between the transition of roles, and then I joined Walmart, I landed at Walmart shortly after a couple months of trying to figure out what my next play was. And then I was at Walmart for about a year, and I realized that retail supply chain wasn't where my heart was set. And supply chain just didn't really align with my passion and purpose, what I wanted to do with my career. And at the time, I was doing a bit of a support role with my boyfriend, now husband's company. And it was in tech. It was in the healthcare space. So I was helping him out, just trying to grow the business and make it into like a full-time thing. And that got my feet wet into tech a bit. through my network, I actually ended up meeting an old colleague of mine back at UPS, and he had joined this technology company called Newlogy that did supply chain software. And I thought it was really intriguing. And he's like, yeah, you would be great for this customer facing role that we have called technical account management. I was like, oh, okay. So I applied and I realized they really wanted my expertise in supply chain, and I really wanted to work in a tech company. So our missions and our purpose aligned, and that's how I got into tech, just through word of mouth and a little bit of dabbling in with my husband's company a bit.
It's interesting you mentioned this value exchange that's going on. So for Newlogy, they were looking for someone like yourself who could talk to the customers they were selling to in an authentic way. And for you, you were looking for an opportunity to pivot into tech. Would you recommend listeners who have deep expertise in a particular industry to prioritize targeting firms that are selling into those industries as a way to pivot into tech?
So that's a great question. I would say play to your strengths. If you're looking for a technology company to join, and if you have experience in what they actually provide as a solution, that's going to be a long-term alignment in what they actually want in a potential candidate. That's how I got in. I think if I came in without my actual supply chain experience, it would have been a hard sell. But they were actually looking to share best practices of the industry. And supply chain is one of those industries where you can't really be taught. You actually have to go through it a little bit to understand what it's about. And then if you live through it, you can actually share that experience with your customers. So that's a great way to break in. So whether it's finance, whether it's retail, whether it's CPG, there are a lot of solutions out there in the world that people are trying to sell to. And if you're able to play on your strength of that experience you bring, it'll make it an easier time for someone to take a chance on you, even though you don't have tech experience.
I want to talk more about your role at Newlogy as a customer success manager. What was a typical day or week like on the job?
Yeah, so CSM, being a CSM, you wear multiple hats. You're obviously dealing with customers at the front line, and you're typically, I would probably say 80% of my time was spending with customers on the phone, whether it's pushing new features, trying to get them to buy more, engaging them with strategies of how they wanted to set up their operations, a lot of engagement that way. And that's where you spend the bulk of your time, is with the customer. And I'd say a portion of that time as well, we were still building out our customer success team, was really building out processes and trying to figure out how we could streamline and grow and scale the actual organization. And then the other thing, being part of any tech company, is always at the fun parts, right? Things to do within the actual startup itself, where you're actually just being able to push yourself, whether it's learning or maybe being part of a social committee or some element to really be part of the fun parts of work, will probably be the element. But I'd probably say 80% of my role, even now where I'm at LinkedIn, is spending with customers.
I'm curious about what role the customer success team plays within the wider organization at a tech company. Can you talk more about that?
I'd probably say customer success is a very vital role, especially in the world of a software as a actual solution, right? You're looking to actually get folks to really buy into your product. And customer success, I think, brings all of those departments you talk about together. We are based as a customer success org to really hear and advocate to push product and to push value to the customer. Every single time there's a new release, every single time they want to grow or scale, people come to us to figure out what those solutions are and work with us directly. I would say over the past 10 years, customer success has really evolved into this being in a lot of tech companies, whether it's big or small, as the shining light that's going to solve all issues with customer relations, if that makes sense. As customers come to you, you are really getting a pulse on how they are talking to your product and software, and then bringing those insights back to your product team, back to your engineering team, back to your sales team to figure out ways to either expand the solution or ways to actually solve the solution. They say that the rise of the chief customer officer is going to be a new thing in tech over the next, I'd say, 5 to 10 years. And it's true. There are more and more roles of people that are being CEOs within bigger tech companies. So it does play a role to make sure you close the loop around all the different organizations internally, as well as keep the pulse on what's going on within the actual customer itself.
I'm sure there are people listening right now who are interested in customer success and are wondering whether they would be a good fit for the role. Can you talk about the types of people who do really well in a CSM position?
I would probably say if you really enjoy helping people, really solving solutions and being hands-on with customers, I'd probably say that's your first thing. Being tech savvy, like being able to pick up a software and learn its intricacies in and out and be that subject matter expert. If you do that naturally right now, if you are seen as that person within your group of friends or in your family that always tries to debug things or trying to figure out things overall, and then just, wanting to really just, I think, be more of a holistic thinker. I think a lot of people assume customer success is a very junior role, but you can be quite strategic in some organizations because you are bringing the pulse of what's going on with the customer back to the organization to grow, whether it be the product or grow your sales division or those sort of things. There's elements of strategy to get involved in your day-to-day, right? Where you need to figure out, okay, what's your next play or next step with the customer based on all the information you actually have. And it, depending on which part of customer success, like which company you join, you can do a lot of planning and trying to strategic thinking of figuring out also their business models as well. I find I do that generally every day in my role at LinkedIn. But yeah, I would say like if you have, just to sum it up, love helping people, are a little bit of a techie itself, and then just overall just wanting to learn more about your customers, I'd probably say those are the three things.
Let's move forward to what you're doing now. You're currently a senior customer success manager at LinkedIn. Tell me more about what it's like to be a CSM there.
Sure. So at LinkedIn, I don't know if you're aware, but LinkedIn actually has four different divisions that they actually help out in the marketplace aside from free LinkedIn. We actually have business-to-business solutions. So we have our talent solutions, which is the recruiting tool. We have marketing solutions, which is essentially all the ads you see. We have a learning solution, which used to be formerly lynda.com. And then our last one is sales solutions, which is the platform for sales navigator to really help sales professionals connect with people that they're actually buying to. So I work in the sales solutions division, and my role is as a customer success manager, I work with enterprise customers to really grow and expand their sales departments using Sales Navigator itself. So they buy a whole bunch of different licenses from us, and I work with their teams to really make sure that they're using the platform to their ability to really turn and change their sales divisions to be more digital selling, essentially. The term that we refer to it is social selling. So really using LinkedIn as a platform to really connect with your customers in a digital sort of way versus traditional mechanisms like knocking on doors, cold calling, or even just sending out email. So yeah, I work with enterprise customers all across North America. And just trying to make sure that they use our platform to the best of their ability.
I'm sure many of us are curious to understand what it's like to work at LinkedIn in Canada. Can you talk about what it's like to be in that office?
Yeah, so we are, so the Canadian office is, we are about 150 strong, and we're the only Canadian office within LinkedIn's offices across the globe. I'd probably say whatever you hear about LinkedIn on media or social media is true. We have a very strong culture that's very focused on people first. Really, the fact is we are a networking platform. We're a platform to really connect individuals, and it is true also internally. We love having, coffee chats virtually now and just connecting with one another. It's a fun place to be, and it's interesting. I think people have this notion because we are a Microsoft company that we embody some of Microsoft's culture, but we're actually very separate from that. So we maintain our own culture separate to the Microsoft organization, but we do get obviously the benefits of being part of a bigger conglomerate, which is great. But yeah, people are great. They really do treat their employees well. And anything that you see about just similar to like some of the bigger tech companies like Facebook, Twitter, I'd probably say Google as well, still also do embody within LinkedIn too as well. It's just a fun place to work.
I'm curious because you've had both the experience at a smaller technology company, a startup, and now you're at LinkedIn, a much larger company. What is it like to work in customer success in both of those types of organizations? Are there major differences or are they actually quite similar?
So I'd probably say working at a smaller organization like Neology is that you have impact to really change the process and build what the team looks like. When I came to LinkedIn, a lot of the structure was already built and we just have way more resources. I think there's a team for every single part of the customer success, whether it's like education, you have scale, you have your own onboarding team. While when you were at Neology, you essentially were one person with multiple hats doing everything. So I think just the size-wise is a bit of a difference, but I would say that it still truly holds the same. You're still working with customers, still driving value, still making an impact within the organization, a big thing. I would say the biggest thing is just resources. When you are working at a small organization, organization, you have to really be mindful of when you spend your time and really impact. Like, if you're going to change a process, is that going to be the best bang for your buck and best value of your time? Meanwhile, within a big organization, you can just ask someone to go do that, and that's their own job to actually focus on that part of the process itself to change, which is a little bit of a difference. Those are probably the biggest differences, I'd probably say.
Would you recommend that a student pursue roles at a big tech company or at a startup after graduation?
I would say it depends on what your appetite is like. And what I mean by that is that if you want to live the startup life of the hustle and everything else, I think it's a great way to build a lot of skills very quickly. I'm glad I did it earlier in my career because I now understand the complexity of trying to build a business and actually make it bigger, right? So if you think about it, like if you, let's say, were to join, let's say, a seed company or even a Series A, there's different milestones within the startup they want to achieve. Well, if you do join more of a more established firm, the startup elements are there, but you're more process oriented. So it is a little bit more corporate, as an example. It just depends on what you're looking for. I had always wanted to understand what it was like to be in corporate tech. So after working at Neology for a while, my next play was something a little bit bigger and trying to figure out, like, that curiosity of mine was just burning. I wanted to figure out what that was like. So when I got the opportunity at LinkedIn, I said yes. And now that I'm here for a while, I enjoy it. But there's still elements of me that miss that small startup community element. And I get to support that with my husband's company right now on the side, which is nice. But I would just say it's up to you. Like if there's a complete passion and desire to go to something small, definitely do it, especially right out of your MBA. Because life does change and your time may be shifted in different parts. You won't have probably not much time later on in life.
I want to talk about how you successfully land a customer success role. What would be your recommendation to the listeners about how they can make themselves stand out amongst the crowd?
I would probably say if you're going to look for a customer success role or any role in tech, is be passionate about what they're trying to sell and promote. So find a company that you really believe in, that you could embody the fact that it's a great product, whether it be somewhere like Twitter, somewhere like LinkedIn, even smaller organizations, do your research about what they do. And you need to be a firm believer that you can actually sell and you can actually support this tool for whatever the duration is. That would be the first thing. And then once you do figure out those companies, then try and figure out if you can actually chat with individuals that are part of either the sales, the customer success, or product role, just to get an understanding of what the organization is like. Not necessarily looking for an actual role, but just getting a sense of what the culture is like too as well. And then apply. I would say once you've done all your networking, apply, because you never know, right, what folks are looking for. And I would probably say make sure that you set your expectations too. A lot of customer success roles, depending on which type of organization you are, some of them might be more of an entry-level role versus a senior role. So just be mindful of what you're looking for, because you may have some expectations that you should be paid at a certain figure, but the company also might have expectations of what they're looking for as well for an individual. Those are probably the three things that I just keep in mind when you're looking for a role.
It's interesting you mentioned reaching out for coffee chats as one of the key parts of landing a customer success role. I also think that can be one of the most intimidating parts of a job search. So I'm curious, what do you do to approach networking successfully?
Yeah, I'll actually take it from the LinkedIn playbook itself, right? When you do reach out to individuals, always be clear about your intent. I think a lot of people, especially I remember doing this when I was at Ivy, is you're trying to land your next role, right? Like whatever that next play is post Ivy, and be clear about it. Just being like, hey, if it's an informational interview, make sure you're clear about it. And if you are looking to actually apply for a particular role you've seen on their website, be clear about it. I think a lot of people hide under the guise that if they reach out to someone, there's a guarantee that they're going to get a referral into a company. A lot of people are not willing to actually put their name out, like stick their head, that neck out for someone they've just met. So start building the relationship with whoever you're reaching out with and just getting a pulse of what the organization is like or even what their day-to-day is like. So you have a good sense. If you do end up getting an interview, you have at least data points that you can bring back when you are going through the interview process. And also, I would say for tech itself, it's a bit of a unique interview process. There's typically you have to do something. It's not like a case interview. It's not like a behavior interview. They'll give you like some some sort of element of you actually building out a presentation, building out maybe a proposal of what it would be like to be in the role. So the more information you have about what the role is like and what to expect, you will arm yourself better for the interview process. So I would just say do your research and make sure you state your intent clear versus hiding it under the guise of just looking for a role itself.
Once someone has landed a customer success interview, are there particular do's and don'ts you would recommend they keep in mind?
I would say do your research. Learn about the industry as much as you can, just so you understand what you're getting yourself set up for. I think a lot of people just assume you're making customers successful. I'm like, in a sense, you are, but it's more to them than that, right? It's really about value. It's really about making sure you're connected to the organization, building customer advocacy. There's a bunch of different elements, and there's a bunch of books out there that you can actually do your research on. Now, the fact that the industry matured a little bit, just look up stuff online. Read one of the books. There's actually a book that I'm reading right now. It's called The Customer Success Handbook for Professionals. Take a look at that. Gainsight, Tango, like customer client success. There's tons of companies that actually provide customer success software as well as even like thought leadership on it. I would say just come prepared to know what you're getting yourself into and be able to speak intelligently about the industry itself. And don't feel afraid to hide who you are. Because what most tech companies are looking for your authentic self. And I think if you compare it to, let's say, consulting or CPG or everything else, there's a framework to the actual interview process. Tech actually gets a little bit more, I'd say, deeper into who you are, what your motivations are, how you actually will be able to function within their actual culture itself. So you may be taken off jar a little bit by the type of questions they are, but they're just trying to understand like why you really want to join. Because that's, I'd probably say, the true essence, right? And if you're able to be your authentic self, then you're able to actually be closer to doing the type of work that they want you to do too as well. So just keep that in mind.
Earlier, you mentioned this idea of the chief customer officer becoming more and more popular at tech companies. I'm curious what the other growth opportunities are for those pursuing customer success.
Yeah, definitely. So you obviously start off in your customer success role, but if you want to pivot, let's say if you have more of a love for product, or maybe in marketing, or maybe even sales, you can definitely pivot to these different departments within the organization you have or at different companies. And then obviously more linear, you can just go up management within customer success. So obviously customer success, maybe senior, maybe leading the team director up to VP to chief customer officer. There's different elements. I think one of the things when people do find that you are working in a customer facing role, the world's your oyster. You can really go into anything else that you want to do. It just depends on where you see yourself as your sort of future when you do join a customer success org. I know that when I worked at Newlogy, a lot of people pivoted into different parts of the organization. And the fact they came from a foundational base of working with customers, it set them up for success in their future role, which was great. I think it's a great career path to dive into different areas that you're passionate about.
I'd like to move to the final segment of our podcast that I've dubbed the lightning round. And these are just fun, quick questions to get to know some of your favorite memories at Ivy, as well as to get to know you better.
Sure.
What was your favorite course at Ivy?
So you did share this with me after. And one of the things that I really enjoyed, I don't know if they still do this, is the leadership section, which is like the first module. I love the ropes course, or like we did like a course together as a group where we were just building trust and everything else and climbing up different things. I found that course very impactful and I still have good memories about it. I really like the IT prof, Nicole Haggerty. I don't know if she still teaches, but she was a great prof. I remember fond memories of just a really open environment to learn, and her cases were quite interesting.
Nicole is still there. She's actually teaching us right now, so I'm sure she'll be happy to hear your answer.
Oh, okay, cool.
Have you taken on a new hobby or habit since you've started working from home?
So I've been playing, I'm a big tennis fan. I'm playing a lot of tennis. So I probably play about 3 to 4 times a week at a local club I'm part of in Toronto. So that's just upping my tennis game right now. And it's a socially distant sport, so it's good.
I like that you threw that in. So if you weren't working in customer success, what would you be doing?
So that's interesting because I've been thinking about this lately. I think I would love to go back to my roots and probably go into corporate social responsibility or something to do with the environment. And it's a big, big push right now. A lot of companies are trying to figure that out. But yeah, I'm part of our social impact and Go Green team at LinkedIn. So I get to actually tap into those elements in my day-to-day role at the company. But yeah, if I wasn't in customer success, I'd probably be doing that.
And the last question is, if you could be any movie character, who would you be and why?
So I don't know if you guys, I like Disney movies. I don't know if you guys remember WALL-E, the movie, the little robot called Eva, or like what WALL-E called her, Eva. That would be me, just trying to help the environment out and clean up and try and find vegetation within the earth and be a bit of an explorer. That's the reason why.
I like that. Thank you so much for your time and your insights, Mahin. I really enjoyed the conversation. Before we leave, do you have a final thought for the listeners?
Yeah, I'd probably say, you know, if you're interested in tech, explore it. I know Ivy's building up their practice within the career management itself, but don't feel shy. Like, I think there's a lot of great talent within the MBA classes that would benefit from joining a tech company. And it does take a little bit of work, but it's not impossible. MBAs are definitely something that is beneficial for any big or small organization. You just have to position yourself, figuring out like how to get in. I think once you do, you can have a very successful career.
Thanks so much, Mahin. And that's a wrap on this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Special thanks to Jay Deverett and Mihir Radij, my fellow Tech Club execs. And thank you to our career management advisor, Patty Guzzo. If you liked what you heard, please follow, download, and subscribe. We're now available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'll be back next week with another episode.
Play to your strengths. If you're looking for a technology company to join, and if you have experience in what they actually provide as a solution, that's going to be a long-term alignment in what they actually want in a potential candidate. That's how I got in. I think if I came in without my actual supply chain experience, it would have been a hard sell. But they were actually looking to share best practices of the industry. And supply chain is one of those industries where you can't really be taught. You actually have to go through it a little bit to understand what it's about. And then if you live through it, you can actually share that experience with your customers. So that's a great way to break in. So whether it's finance, whether it's retail, whether it's CPG, there are a lot of solutions out there in the world that people are trying to sell to. And if you're able to play on your strength of that experience you bring, it'll make it an easier time for someone to take a chance on you, even though you don't have tech experience.